thousands of times, were you there when they crucified my Lord? And in terms of history and geography, that is, of course, an absurd question. The crucifixion of Christ took place 2,000 years ago and thousands of miles away. All of the people who committed and witnessed that horrible crime are long since dead and buried. But you know, the songwriter was not limiting his thoughts to time and space. You see, he saw the cross as a symbol of an ongoing struggle between good and evil. And in that sense, we are always there. We're on one side or we are on the other. We have shared the attitudes of those who carried out this tragic deed. The only real difference between us and them is an accident of birth. They happen to be there and we happen to be here. But the qualities of character that crucified Jesus are still with us today. And so what are those qualities? Well, one of them is just downright stupidity. You know, looking back at that event, do you ever find yourself wondering, how on earth did this ever happen? A man who was dedicated to the truth was put to death by a group of men who considered themselves to be guardians of the truth. I mean, the whole thing seemed utterly senseless. And the great crimes in history have all had that in common. Viewed in the cold light of day, they make no sense whatsoever. You know, in the Middle Ages, it was stupid to burn heretics at the stake. In modern Germany, it was stupid to put Hitler in power and then blindly follow him down the road to destruction. You see, sin is not only wrong, it is also senseless. And when we turn our attention from institutions to individual persons, this truth becomes even more evident. You know, looking back at the things of which we're most ashamed, what do we see? I venture to say it was not so much wickedness that we've done as foolishness. In our hours of honesty and contrition, what form does your prayer take? Well, you know, I can only speak for myself, but I'm pretty sure I'm not alone. Not only do I say, God be merciful to me, a sinner, I say, God be merciful to me, a fool. Wherever and whenever truth is crucified, stupidity plays a part. And fear was also a factor. You know, the people who crucified Jesus, they were afraid. Pilate feared for his job. The priests feared for the loss of their power and their influence. The shouting mob feared to step out of line and be different. You know, it seems strange to us now, I think, that Jesus could evoke such fear in people. But we do not recognize the revolutionary nature of his message. The truth that he taught is a threat to tyrants and to the powerful, or to anyone who has prospered at the expense of others. And that is still a threat today. Because anyone who takes Jesus seriously is honor-bound to become a servant of the lowest of the least. In a society that worships power and money, that idea can seem treasonous. I mean, it turns our value system upside down. What on earth would happen to our capitalistic system? And like the people who nailed Jesus to a cross, we're threatened by that. We're frightened by that. And of course, cruelty was there that day. It plaited a crown of thorns and crushed it upon his head. It dressed him in a purple robe, called him king, and then spat in his face. It drove hard nails through his hands and mocked him while he died. Now, such cruelty seems unthinkable to us today. I mean, you and I can hardly imagine a crucifixion, let alone take part in one. Now we have laws that forbid torture. No civilized country would have a crucifixion as a form of execution. But you know, unfortunately, laws have not and cannot banish cruelty in all of its forms. You know, we can inflict pain upon others without even touching them. More people have been injured by words than have ever been injured by fists and clubs. And the wounds can take longer to heal. Most of us can recall, I believe, from childhood, at least one occasion where we were ridiculed by other children. And if we allow ourselves, we can go back to that very moment. We can remember where we were and who was there and what was said. And we can remember how it felt. And what is strange, that even years later, we can still feel that pain. But worse yet, we have all brought that senseless pain upon others in one way or another. Yes, we were there when they crucified our Lord.
And of course, indifference was a factor. Luke's account of the crucifixion has one line. It's not included in the other three Gospels. It says, "The people stood by watching." As far as we know, they took no active part in his death. They simply watched. It wasn't their business. It was not their affair. At this climactic moment of history, they chose to play the part of spectators. Their cold and cautious hearts warned them not to get involved. And like millions before and since, they willingly obeyed. Who was it that said, "All that evil needs to do to triumph is for good people to do nothing"? This group of onlookers at Calvary are an example of that. And if we look closely, we might see our own faces amongst that crowd. So, stupidity, fear, cruelty, and indifference, they were all there that day. And each of them had a hand in the crucifixion. But as you well know, that's only part of the story. This terrible tragedy is, in fact, what theologians call a revelatory event. A revelatory event pulls back the curtain and shows us a depth of meaning that we did not see before. Because on the other side, faith was there. Now, Jesus didn't want to be crucified. Nobody but a fanatical martyr would welcome such a horrible experience. He was a healthy-minded young man, eager to go on living. But he went to the cross voluntarily, believing that God would use it to redeem the world. You know, Jesus gambled his life upon that. He had no guarantee. It was a daring act of faith. And all of the odds seemed against him. And sometimes it seems that way today. You know, we all know that the world is a long way from being redeemed. But you see, the cross has established a beachhead. It has gotten a grip on some of us. And try as we might, we cannot shake ourselves loose. And at least one thing has become evident. And that is that the greatest power on earth is love that will sacrifice itself for the sake of others. Jesus saw that 2,000 years ago through eyes blurred with pain. So faith was a major factor in Calvary. And you know, hope was there too. Admittedly, it was hard to find. From all outward appearances, Jesus and his movement were finished. He seemed to be nothing but a misguided man, dying for a lost cause. But one of the thieves crucified next to him, Luke tells us, saw something more. He said to Jesus, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." You know, in the midst of all that blood and that sweat and those tears, a condemned man saw the eternal significance of the cross. Maybe this man is right. Maybe he is the Messiah. And it gave him hope. And Jesus replied to him, of course, "This day you will be with me in paradise." It was an hour of darkness and despair. But hope was present that day. And then, of course, love was there. You know, we are not to think that Jesus had warm and tender feelings for the people that tortured him to death. That would be utterly unreal. And the cross is a fact of history. It's not a fairy tale. Real people do not have the same feelings for their tormentors that they have for their good friends and their families. And Jesus was real. His love was something far greater than just feeling. It was a commitment. He wanted the best for everybody, and he would stop at nothing to make that happen. And that is why he prayed, "Father, forgive them." Jesus wanted the best for everyone, even those who killed him. And I tell you, that is true love. So there you have it. Stupidity, fear, cruelty, and indifference on one side. Faith, hope, and love on the other. All of those things were present when Christ was crucified. You were there. So was I. And the only question is, on which side? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.